So, if you have eaten the words of Vershawn correctly, then your doors of fellowship would have been opened. And you would know a lot of the secrets that come with understanding the book of John, 1 John. And why is it so important for us to have fellowship? Firstly, it's because we're fulfilling the goal in which God has created mankind. You must always remember that God did not create humans for them to work. And that's why in Jeremiah 33:33 it says, those who cry out to me, you will be met with my face. So remember that we are created to be partners of God in that loving relationship, not for us to become slaves. So remember, we are not made to be workers. And furthermore, you are called to be pastors. So do you think God made you to be a worker of the church? No, we were made to be kings, and kings work through their commands. They don't work themselves. They command others to work for them. And we are royal priests, so we will live by the commands that come out of our mouths as well. And a lot of you have gone home, apparently. So was the conference not fun for you? A lot of them went back for Wednesday night services in their church, I think. Did they not come back then? Anyways, I'm thankful for those of you who have remained. And right now there's another meeting next to us, and it's a little noisy what they're doing, and spiritually speaking is a little messy as well. So in the state of losing that fellowship, if you focus your life on your deeds and your actions, then that, spiritually speaking, that is the most dangerous state that you can be in. If you do not open up yourself to the Lord and you focus on your techniques, your habits, your experiences, and for the kingdom of God, your experiences is an enemy. Why can't we live by our experiences? It's because everything that comes to me, everything that I encounter, should be something that I go through for the first time. And as a being, as a limited being, I cannot understand everything that happens to me. So experience is actually a stumbling block more than it is something that it is useful. In Proverbs, it is written that the thoughts of man will always bring him to the path of destruction. So experience is never beneficial for you to rely on. And it's the same with spiritual wounds. Two people may have the same spiritual wound, but because of your experiences, because of the things that you have gone through are different, the way that wound appears is different in the two people. So when we do healing ministry, we cannot say, oh, because I healed this person before in this way, I can heal another person with the same wound the same way. For example, medically speaking, you have liver cancer. Then even if the two people have the same liver cancer, you cannot say the reason that they have liver cancer is the same. That cancer is unique to that person. Likewise, we are all created differently by God. So the more we live with God, the more we are amazed because we find out how different and unique we are in the eyes of God. And that's why even after ministering for decades, we do not get hardened spiritually. Because every time we encounter a person that we need to minister, it's a new situation and we need to overcome a new challenge. So every person that we meet, even if it's the same person, it's a new encounter. And throughout the whole human history, you are one in a million. You are unique in your being. So that's why we are all Mr. and Mrs. Universes. because we are one of a kind. You are the first and the last being to be like that in this universe and all throughout history. And there are many reasons why we need to be in contact with the Lord. It's that when we are connected with the uniqueness of God, we can also live according to that nature as well. And as you know, we are not independent gods. Only when we are connected with that eternal God can we also live in that everlasting life. And since He is a unique God, we are also unique when we're close with Him. And that's why we are always touched and in awe when we come in connection with the Lord. If we meet with Him, we can see His uniqueness, we can see His true nature, we can see that He is special and unique and everlasting. And since He's the God of wisdom, we can become wise when we encounter Him. So, fellowship is very important in that perspective. And since you are one of a kind in this universe, the only way that we can live in this universe is to live with Him. Because only in Him can we find that life, because He's the one that has created us. And right now, even though I'm the one preaching to you, I'm not doing anything specifically for you. Actually, all the things that I'm speaking to you, you have already received from God. You're just confirming it once again through my sermons. This is why it is so important for us to live with God, because He's the one that gives us everything that we need to survive. Humans. The Bible says that humans were created by God, right? But it's not written that much. Usually it says humans are begotten by God. We are born from God. We are birthed from Him. Although God created our flesh, but all the functions of your spirit and your spirit itself is not created, but it is actually transplanted from God. Just as you can receive a liver transplantation from another person, God transplanted His own life into you. That's why God did not deem His angels as His heirs, but He deemed humans as His heirs, because He put His own life into us. We have His vitality. We have His very own life force within us. Just as when we give birth to our children, we love them, we care for them, and we're willing to give all of our inheritance to our children, likewise, God has begotten us, and that's why He will give us His kingdom as an inheritance. And when you understand that phenomenon, you understand why He has promised you all these things. God does not create us just as He created the other creatures. He actually birthed us into this world, and that's why we're so special in His eyes. So all the messages that are written in the Bible is not simply the fact that He has spoken and He has promised it to us, but it is very matter-of-fact and natural for the Lord to promise us these things because He has birthed us. And if you read the book of Enoch and the other Apocrypha, you will see stories where even angels cannot understand why God gives His glory to such weak beings as humans. And the reason why some angels rebel and go against the Lord is because God has given them free will as well. For example, like Lucifer. The reason why Lucifer and other angels rebelled was because God gave them free will. But the reason why God continues to stand on our side, even when His own angels tried to reject it, is because we are His children. He gave birth to us. That's why he will never forsake you. He will never give up on you. That is the significance of your being. And the Bible talks about the cancellation of salvation. Especially it's written in Hebrews chapter 6 about the cancellation of salvation. And the cancellation of salvation is not God saying, I do not know you. Cancellation of salvation is a spiritual state that we go into when we're unable to repent any longer. When we are no longer able to be accused of our sins and acknowledge our sins and repent. Because we cannot hear the voice of repentance any longer, that's why we lose our salvation. And that state comes to us when we continue to reject the Holy Spirit and we ignore Him. The more and more you reject Him and ignore Him, the less you will be able to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. And we end up going into a state of not being able to repent because we no longer know what our sins are. So it is not God who forsakes us. It is us who forsake the Lord. You can look at the example of the prodigal son. The father, as soon as the son leaves the household, he's waiting every day at the doorstep, waiting for his son to return. And that is the role of the father. It is the son who needs to realize his faults and return to the father. God will never forget us or forsake us because our existence is so precious and cherished in His eyes. Remember that God is the God of pure emotions. Only when you fully nullify the power of the old self can you understand the significance of having that pure emotion. And having pure emotion cannot be expressed by human languages. Because as soon as you know that pure emotion, you become perfectly selfless. You understand everything. You interpret everything through the perspective of God instead of your own standards. So as soon as you receive that pure emotion and pure love, no matter what state you are in, you will be fully revolutionized. No matter what scars you have, what wounds you have, what background you come from, you will be revolutionized and be completely transformed. And that is the confession of Apostle John, who knew of the perfect love of the Lord. And even I think I do not know the full extent of that pure emotion yet. If you actually experience that perfect love, then tears will never run dry from your eyes. And when I first encountered the Lord, I think I got a glimpse of that pure emotion. And because that encounter was so powerful, all the nicotine in my body seeped out through my pores, through my eyes, through my nose, and all the holes in my body. And I can talk about the love of God endlessly. Anyways, that's the importance of fellowship. Fellowship is crucial for us to have in our lives with Christ. It is very important. You must maintain in that fellowship. And it's very dangerous for you to live a life where your deeds and actions come first. If you personify that sort of lifestyle, then it's very difficult for you to return to the right track. And when it comes to the spirit of religion, it is difficult to discern it with spiritual discernment. Why? Because it pretends to be holy. How can you tell that you are religious? First thing is you lose your tears. If you lose your tears, and I'm not talking about, you know, crying, watching dramas, or any sad stories. A lot of people cry when they watch dramas, when they don't cry before the Lord. I'm not talking about those things. I'm speaking of losing your tears in worship. And that is proof of the spirit of religion. I used to be a very stubborn man and a tough man. But when I met the Lord, I could not stop myself from crying. But one of the biggest proof that you are influenced by the spirit of religion is that you are not renewed anymore. If you continue to say the same things and only go through the same motions and run in the same cycles, then that is proof of the spirit of religion. I'm not speaking about putting in effort to do something new. If you have a relationship with the Lord correctly, without a spirit of religion, then God will naturally lead you to a new stage, a new level every day. And as a pastor, if you do not lead the flock will not follow you. You need to be in front of them. If you do not lead them, they will all starve to death. That's why the Lord will always lead His servants to grow first, to mature first. And that's why we grow endlessly, we learn endlessly, we are renewed endlessly by God. I'm talking about how God reigns upon you. Without the spirit of religion, if you do not shut those doors, then God will always make you to grow. And I'm sure all the associate pastors of my church will see how God is always renewing me and leading me to a new dimension. And all these associate pastors and the pastors of Zoe Ministry, they have been following after me for 20 years, and they're all excellent pastors as well. But most importantly, they have been seeing that their leader, me, has been led by the Lord to be renewed and become more and more powerful every day. And a lot of them come to me and say, "Pastor, I cannot catch up to you." And it's not that I'm excelling faster, it's that they have trouble keeping up because they're not growing as fast. A lot of my church members always confesses this as well. It's not because I'm talented or anything. It's because God has raised me to be the senior pastor in my church. And that's why He will lead me to excel faster than others. And the key to that is to always keep myself away from the spirit of religion. You'll become stagnant. The proof of not growing is that you lose that inspiration of dealing with other souls. You lose your inspiration and awe for the revelations and the wisdom of God. Pastor needs to be continually inspired by the revelations of God. And the reason why the pastors of Zoe Ministry are so amazing is because they have listened to the same messages for the past 20 years. But still, they are blessed. And that's why I asked him, "This is the same message anyways. Why do you come to every conference?" But they say, "It's new every time. It's amazing every time. I am blessed every time." Why? It's because even in the same context, even in the same sermons, there's a new revelation that comes out every time. One of the deacons said this to me. She has been a believer for 30 years before coming to this church. And for 30 years, her pastor only spoke about the book of Luke to her. She has only listened to the messages of Luke before. And that is very dangerous. The reason why it is dangerous is because the reason why God has called his children to him is because he wants to bless his children and allow his children to receive his abundance. And that abundance is actually proclaimed through the pastor. The pastor is the one who has to proclaim the abundance and share the abundance of God with his flock. When a light goes through a prism, the spectrum of the light is divided into a rainbow. Likewise, that's the role of the pastor. The pastor must receive all the things that come from God and share to his members. This is why it is very important for the pastor to not close the doors of fellowship with God. And you cannot cast away the spirit of religion. The spirit of religion is only overcome by being connected with God again. The closer you become with God, the less you'll be influenced by the spirit of religion. The spirit of religion means you are confined to your own limitations, to your own habits, to your own techniques and skills. That's why there's nothing new about it. But fellowship is the opposite. You speak with God. You are connected with God. You receive from God. And that's why everything that comes out of you is new. So you need to evaluate yourselves. Are you losing your tears? Are you inspired by God? Do you still feel refreshed? If not, then that is religion. And if you have been influenced by a religion, then you must do something about it. I'm not saying to fast. I'm not telling you to fast. As pastors, it's not that good for you to fast. Because you should be overcoming everything through grace. If you're not influenced by the spirit of religion, then everything that comes out of you and every influence that you have upon the church should come from the kingdom of God. Not by your own things, but everything comes from the kingdom of God. You're just a vessel, a channel. That is the system of grace. And churches must operate upon the system of grace. That's why when church members, even after being with me for 20 years or even 30 years, they grow endlessly. They're not tired of anything that comes out of me or the church. You know that bone, even bone broth, after stewing it for 7 times, nothing will come out of the bone. It will just be clear soup. Likewise, if it came out of me, then nothing new would come out of me after maybe 30 years of ministry. But the reason why we can continue after decades of doing this is because we are just a vessel, a channel for the Lord to work through. We're not using anything that comes out of ourselves. And when a mother gives birth to your child, the blood that she sheds and the amount of blood is required for her to feed her children is 7 buckets full. And some church members come to me when they need something, like money. Especially my children, when they come to seek me, it's usually because they want money. But most of the time, I bless the church through the things that come out of the kingdom of God instead of myself. So when you, after the conference, please go and listen to my sermons, my exposition on 1 John, or read the transcriptions. Because I speak more about the details of what this fellowship means in those expositions. So I think it will be very good for you to listen to those messages afterwards. And 1 John is very important for pastors to go through. Last time we finished up to verse 14. So, the Trinity. Trinity is not just a theory, but the importance of the Trinity is for us to have a dynamic relationship with each one of the persons. And to learn of all those specific and unique characteristics and personality that each one has. And when you have a dynamic relationship with the Trinity, that's when you can receive the full love of the Trinity. Because you know the love of the Father. You know the love of Christ. You know the love of the Holy Spirit. And through those dynamic relationships, your doors of fellowship will be opened fully. You must understand the sensitivity that the Holy Spirit has. The Holy Spirit is the most sensitive against the sins that you commit. Jesus is a merciful God. He's always enduring. He's patient. He's always waiting for you. So you cannot know how critical your sins are against you when you only encounter Jesus simultaneously. But simultaneously, you need to meet Jesus in order to know of your worth and to know of the dignity that God has bestowed upon you. That's why our relationship with Him is referred to as Shin. When you know that His glory is your glory and that you come from the same origin, that you are His brother, that's when you understand your own significance. So you are exalted while simultaneously being humbled. And God the Father. God the Father is who makes all the decisions. We need to bow down before the King of Kings to understand why we need to revere God and to experience the intimacy of the Father. And We need to see the love of the Father that allowed Jesus to come and die for us and for all these amazing things to happen through Jesus. And whenever something happens in the church, and especially when my wife wants to do something, she needs to come to me because I hold the ultimate power to make decisions in the church. Likewise, all the decisions of the kingdom of God are made by the Father. So, always know that the Trinity cannot just remain as this concept or a theory within your mind, but it is important for you to actually have a dynamic relationship with the Trinity. When you look at the New Testament, especially the book of Romans, you must understand the concept of the old self and the new self first before you interpret the verses of the Bible, especially the New Testament. And why doesn't Apostle John refer to the old self and the new self? It's because by the time that he wrote these letters, the community that he was dealing with was already well-versed in the concept of the old self and the new self. And they have matured above that stage already. And of course, some people are still immature in their spirituality, so sometimes the apostles write about the concept of the old self and the new self. But in general, this concept is already applied to all of them, to most of the members of the early churches, and that's why they don't mention the old self and the new self that often. So one of the most important facts that come out of the Bible is, and this is one of the core things that a lot of the churches have polluted in the gospel. And that is monism. Monism is when you follow God and only God only. When God wills it, you follow. When He does not will it, you stop. But the world is always living in dualism. There's always a choice, should I do this or do that? But when you live with God, it's not dualism. It is monism. So that's why we don't have any struggles when we live with God. If you're struggling to make a decision, then you're still living in the tendencies of the world. Why is it monism? When we live with God, it's because God is the only God. What does it mean He's the sole God? It means He's the only person that we can be fully unified with. He is the only one that can do this. So His truth is very clear. If you have faith, then you have nothing to do with unbelief. There's no middle ground in this matter. If you choose to have unbelief, then you have no faith. So you need to realize that a lot of people have misinterpreted this. A lot of gospel has fallen into humanism. Faith is actually to choose God only. You do not care about anything else. You do not contemplate anything else. When the old self moves, you're always in the state of sin. And you cannot simultaneously be both in the state of the old self and the new self. It's either one or the other. And because some of you are still mixed, you may not understand this fully. You need to know why I say the border of the old self and the new self has to be clear within you. The more the border is clear, the more easier it is for you to live with God. Because you're not led to you're not manipulating to making the wrong choices. Even if you commit a sin, as soon as you return to the new self, you'll be angry against the enemy instead of being depressed or instead of despair. And when you overcome that sin and defeat the enemy, you'll be overwhelmed with that joy of victory. because you're in the state of the new self. But when you're in the state of the old self, even if you know that the enemy is the one that caused you to sin, you will not get angry against him. Rather, you'll just fall into despair. But in the state of the new self, rather than being depressed or in despair, you feel sad that you have broken the heart of the Father, and you repent, and you are restored. So this is very important for you when it comes to preaching. When you preach a sermon, your sermon needs to clearly distinguish between what is right and what is wrong. If at the end of the sermon, the people are still not sure of what is right and what is wrong, then that sermon was not done well. But in the past 2,000 years of the gospel, these things have become very unclear and foggy. And all this happened when Constantine made Christianity the main religion of his empire. It was accepted into humanism, and it has become very abstract and unclear. For example, nowadays in the church, if you offer a lot of money, a lot of your mistakes and your bad habits will be forgiven, because they'll say, oh, at least he's a good offerer. And that is the dangers of humanism. Humanism makes it so that the people who offer the most amount of money into the church are the ones who are appointed as elders first. So you must have a clear border within your heart. Because the Old Testament and the New Testament are all written according to those clear distinctions. You need to have a clear border, and you cannot skip between the borders any longer if you understand the significance of what that border means. So, this is very clear in the book of 1 John. There's a clear distinction between the old self and the new self. So as you eat the word of 1 John, it needs to be melted into your spirituality. Yeah? What is melted into your spirituality will flow naturally into your churches as well. No longer will the border be foggy and unclear. So I have been pointing out the core messages of 1 John to you for the past couple of days. And it's already 12 o'clock. And time is really my enemy. So from verses 15 to 16, you can see the reasons for the destruction of this fellowship. Do not love the world or the things in the world. So ultimately, this is a problem with the old self and the new self. All the systems of the old self. All the things of the old self are. It receives its nutrients from the new self, whereas the new self receives everything from the kingdom of God. But the world and the kingdom of God are complete opposites. They're polar opposites. And that has to be very clear within the church. You cannot allow your church members to fall into the tendencies or the standards of the world. You cannot allow your church members to neglect themselves when they are falling into the world. You need to make the border clear, the distinctions clear. But because the border is unclear, the line is foggy, that's why people don't know which side they're standing on. In the case of the Galatian church, they were faced with two great problems. One was syncretism, and one was exclusionism. Syncretism is when you're mixed with the heresies. And a lot of heresies are still around the world right now. What is legalism? Legalism is when the church is too good. But what is the characteristic of holiness, of righteousness? It is holiness and love. But on the other hand, legalism is based upon the law. A person can pray out of legalism or they can pray out of grace. There's a difference, and I'll explain that later. So these elements within the church have to be very clear. The line has to be clear. And when you make the line clear, at first, people may have a difficult time listening to you because you're saying what they're doing is wrong. And the church has to be connected with the kingdom of God. But if that connection is faulty, then naturally the church will start to be influenced by the world. But at the very least, your church members need to know what wrongs they're doing, what sins they're committing. When they acknowledge and know what sins they're committing, they can retaliate against the enemy that has attacked them. That is the bare minimum. And of course, this does not happen in just one day. But ever since I built this church, I have made the rules clear. And it's not too late for you and your churches as well. If any of these standards have been torn down before in your church, then it's time for you to reestablish them and set up the pillars. And you don't have to look far. Just look at the early churches. Through Apostle Paul and many of the apostles, the early churches have set up these pillars that allows their church members to stand in righteousness. Firstly, in your church, the distinction between salvation has to be very clear. A person needs to know whether or not they are saved. And secondly, they need to know what is righteous and what is wicked as well. And you don't, as a church, you don't really need to care about what is happening in the world. For example, even if the economy is bad, it does not mean that the church will face financial instability as well. People of our church, they just quit their jobs just to attend an overseas conference because they're not tied to their jobs. They're not tied to their fleshly affairs. And that's why we have a lot of unemployed people in our church. In our church, we have 500 people. And out of those 500 people, only 100 are employed. And almost all of the sisters do not work. Only the widows or singles work. All the women who have married, they remain in the house and take care of the children. They're the caretakers of the household. Why? Because this is the order of creation. This is the principle of creation. It is the man who has to work and earn for his family. On the other hand, the woman has to stay home and pray and care for the family. So all the work of the church is done primarily by the women. Even in my case, my wife does most of the work in the church. But the men are the leaders who decide the mainstream of the church. And the men have to be powerful leaders for the women to be happy. Please respond with amen, especially the women. In Africa, my wife is actually more popular than me because she's quite famous and popular to the African pastors and the pastors' wives. And that's why I don't like going to Africa anymore. Firstly, it's because I don't like the food. And I'm not scared about demons. I'm not afraid of demons, but I'm afraid of mosquitoes. And there's a lot of mosquitoes in Africa. So I'm quite sick of it. Last time when I was in Uganda, I brought two electric fly swatters. And I would use mosquito detergent. repellents and all that. But I would still get stung by mosquitoes, and I got dysentery, and I struggled for a whole week. Even when I was sleeping, I was defecating onto the sheets. So I have a lot of hurts regarding Africa. But still, I continue to go, and I will be going soon. Why? It's because I'm going there because there are precious souls over there that need to meet the Lord. Any pastors want to volunteer to go instead of me? And the only person that is not affected by Africa is Pastor Mike. And the reason why I can no longer be a missionary is because I cannot eat local food anymore. The one thing that I can eat is the meat in Central America, I think. Other than that, I'm not able to eat any of the other foreign food. Anyways, it says, do not love the world or the things in the world. So in the perspective of the old self and the new self, the old self cannot help but love the world. Because the old self comes from the flesh. It is Sarx. And Sarx itself is not wicked or evil. Sarx itself is not evil. But the flesh, Sarx, receives strength from the world. Fundamentally speaking, it has a sinful desire, a sinful nature, which is written in the book of Habakkuk. The five sinful desires makes it so that the Sarx will receive strength from the world and wickedness. But the new self is, the old self is completely different from the new self. Whereas this new self is connected with the kingdom of God. So when you're in the state of the old self, you lose that connection with the kingdom of God. And you can tell by the state of your being. The reason why you fall into the old self is because you love the world. According to the principles of the book of 1 John, the world hates the kingdom of God. The world hates the people of God, and especially hates the new self. And you need to know how vicious your old self is, because it boasts of a long history, a history of 6,000 years. And after you allow a demon to come and possess you for 10 years, it's going to go into a whole army and become a stronghold within you. And the demons around the world have existed for thousands of years now. So you can only imagine how powerful they are. And they share a long history with mankind. Because ever since the start of Cain, it has been very close to humankind and has been affecting us and created this strong system of the old self. Well, not created, but it has been influencing and empowering the state of the old self for thousands of years. These things are all created by people who were ungodly, those who were murderers, robbers. So when Cain created his own city, he created that city through the five sinful desires of Habakkuk. So only God knows us the best. Why? Because He is our creator. But the second entity that knows us the most are the demons who have been around us for thousands of years. They know all the tendencies, all the habits of mankind. They have a big data about humans. So that's why they can manipulate us very easily. Because they know our desires. They know what we like. They know how to make us stumble. That's why we cannot rely on our thoughts or even our experiences. The only way we can overcome these demons who are smarter than us is to rely on God. And that is the dangers of the old self. So if you love the world, then naturally you will live by the old self. It says, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So it's either A or B. There's a clear line between them. So you need to make a clear distinction with everything that you perceive spiritually. And even though I'm training the servants of God in this generation, I can see that many people are not trained in this matter. Even though it may appear very simple and easy, it's not so for the people to receive. Because you're saying to them, if you love the world, you have nothing to do with God. If you hate the world, then you have everything to do with God. When the line is clear, when you know that the line is clear, it's not easy for you to choose the world anymore because you know that you are forsaking the Lord if you do so. There's the concept of osmosis. As you know, with osmosis, the place that is more saturated will obviously affect the place that is less saturated for there to become an equilibrium. But if you have a fullness of holiness on one side, then you can affect the other side to make it holy as well. But for you to grow that holiness, the line has to be clear. You cannot grow holiness while being mixed. And that's why Apostle Paul said in Galatians, he had to strike his body to make it submissive to God. You need to train your spirit to be able to nullify the powers of the old self so that you're no longer affected by it. You need to make the old self submissive to you. Trample it. Whenever it starts to rise, you need to stomp upon its head and make it submit to you. If you don't do that, then you're defenseless. You just easily look at your cell phones. You watch soccer games. But when the line is clear, you realize that it is coming up and you stomp on it, you trample it. So, in Proverbs, it is written that as soon as you receive wisdom, you receive understanding as well. And what is understanding? Understanding is being able to discern what is correct. And then you receive knowledge. Knowledge, you realize what the significance of it, and then you receive the power to control yourself so you can resist sinning. That is the true power of the new self. And all that is being poured to you through the work of the Holy Spirit. And through the help of the Holy Spirit, your line, your border will become clear for you to see. And as soon as the line is clear, it's easier for you to obey. It's easier for you to delay, prolong your own judgment. You delay your own judgment because instead you receive the judgment of God. You discern everything through His eyes. Even if you're fighting with somebody, rather than hating that person immediately, you, through the perspective of God, you start to understand why that person has offended you like that. And you receive the personality characteristic of meekness. And that's why I named my third child Onyu. So whenever you lack meekness, you should look at her. The thing about my children is whenever they come up on the stage, I'm worried for the stage. Even if they come up, I hope they spread out across the whole stage, but they always tend to bunch together for some reason. I'm sure she's going to yell at me later for mentioning her in the sermon again. Verse 16. So even though it may seem simple, it's a very important thing for us to understand. The border has to be clear between the old self and the new self. You cannot say this: even though I love the world, I still love God. And don't talk as if you're beating around the bush or trying to soften the blow or anything. No, this is how you tear down the temple of God. You need to be there needs to be a clear distinction between Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal. It is worse for you to allow your church members to choose to be hurt. No matter what, you cannot allow them to be hurt. In our church, no matter how badly I speak of my church members, they're not offended. Right? They feel complimented. Then actually, no. If I do that, then I'm like a cult leader. So that's not true. I don't speak badly about my church members in front of them. I just tell them what other people are saying about them. No. I treat them with dignity. Verse 16? What did you say? I look holy? Thank you. We don't have time. Don't distract me. It's a warning. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. And like I said before, in Genesis 4, you can see that Cain created the city of the kingdom of the world. And it is made through the desires of Habakkuk. And all that comes from the lust of the eyes. And that is a power. In Greek is dynamis. So the five simple desires, if you live by those five simple desires, then it gathers strength in your spirit. On the other hand, if you live by anointing, that anointing will become richer and richer within you for the new self. In 2 Corinthians, Paul refers to the new creature. New creature means you become a completely different being from the Old Testament because every system, everything about you has changed. It is not just an emotional change, but there's a practical change that happens to you when you receive salvation because you have gone into the new covenant. You become a new creature. So in that sense, when you live by the Spirit, all the strength, all the systems, all the powers are renewed and empowers you. In the same sense, if you live by the old self, if you live by the flesh, then you live by the systems of the flesh, and you empower the flesh instead. So if you live by the old self, even if you don't sin, when you stay still, because the flesh is always open up to the sinful desires and the tendencies of the world and the standards of the world, it will gather strength. It will continue to judge and it will judge other sins. And you will agree with your sinful, wicked judgments and standards, and you become more and more bound. So don't do anything. It does not mean you're not becoming any less wicked. So do not live without knowing this spiritual system, principle. Do you think if you lock a person into a room by himself, then that person will become righteous? No. That person will probably become more stubborn and wicked. If you look at Tibetan monks, some monks lock themselves into a tiny little room for 3 years. And after 3 years, they come out fat. They come out fat and filled with demons. And I have seen that. Our Yumi, when she was 27, she was sent to Bhutan. She went to Bhutan to teach, and the king of Bhutan had bodyguards who were those sort of monks that went through that ritual. So try locking yourself in a small prison for 3 years. See what happens. When I went to seminary, my juniors below me would ask, "Hey, bro, what's it like drinking? What's it like smoking cigarettes?" And I would say, "Try. Why don't you try? If you're curious about something, you gotta try it, don't you?" So if you're curious about this concept, then try locking yourself in a tiny room for 3 years to see what happens. Everything spiritual is not tied to a physical deed. It's the same with words. You cannot take their words for face value. You need to see what spirits are working behind it. But through a person's words, you can see what sort of person they are. Anyways, let us continue. So the five sinful desires makes it so that your flesh continues to seek this power. And that's why we cannot maintain the state of the old self for long. So this is the power of the SARS, which is the lust of the flesh. It's a state where you're empowering the forces of darkness within your body. You strengthen yourself, you strengthen your lust. And evil is all evil, but there is that fundamental evil which is hatred. Hatred is one of the things that really strengthens your desire, your lust. And hatred will lead you to rage, anger. In Ephesians 4:26, it says, "If you do not resolve your anger in a day, it will become a foothold, a stronghold, a foothold within your spirit. In one night, the demons will build a house within you." And these elements are one of the things that empowers and strengthens the sinful desires within us. And hatred in the end will lead you to disregard and reject the crucifixion. And the same with anger. Anger itself may be a personality or it may be an emotion. But it comes from hatred. And the reason why it is dangerous is because in the state of anger, you cannot listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. But fundamentally, these channels that create sinful desires within you is connected with the lust of your eyes. So all of your physical senses, your perception, your eyes, your ears, your sense of smell, all these things can become a channel for you to strengthen the lust of the world. For example, when you go shopping, when you look at all these products that you want to have, it's going to affect your spirit. So if you wear yellow sunglasses, everything's going to be tinted yellow. If you wear red or black sunglasses, everything's going to be tinted a different color. And later on, you're going to become dull. You will not be able to see true colors anymore because you're so used to seeing through that filter. If you allow yourself to fall into lust, then whoever you see, you will lust after their bodies. If you love cars, then you will always be lusting after a better car. And you'll be envious of those who are driving those cars. To them, it's a curse to be driving a small car like a Ray. Please, somebody buy me a new car. All this comes from the lust of the eyes. You judge everything that is contradicting your judgment. So you pull on the things that come through the lust of your eyes and you empower the lusts of your flesh. And that is just the natural system of your flesh. And that is called Bayu in Greek. It is a beast-like life. Because you live according to your flesh, to your instincts, you're living no better than the beasts. That's why when you see the actions of these wicked people, they look like they are wild animals, they're beasts. They do not act human anymore because they're living by that bayou. And this is why it is so crucial for us to remove all the sinful desires and the lusts of the book of Habakkuk. The only way we can remove these things is to continue to strive for the glory of God. Especially sisters. You're addicted to shopping. You keep looking at that the shopping malls like coupon, and know that the more you look at those products, the more you shop, the more you're lusting after those things. And I know that most of you are probably on your cell phones around like an average of 6 hours a day, and even I try my best to not use cell phones, but even I have to use on average like 2 hours a day. So naturally, I would think that other people will be using probably more than 6 hours a day on average. You cannot even pray 7 hours, and yet you're on your cell phones for 7 hours. So you can only imagine how much you are empowering your flesh through those habits. On the other hand, our NSIP children, when they're students, we don't give them cell phones. So you have no idea how pure they are spiritually. That's why they can turn nations upside down when they go to minister. But as soon as they graduate and they get their cell phones, they lose all that purity. That's why I'm still considering whether or not to give them cell phones after they graduate. There was one minister of a church before when in secret they were watching television without me, and suddenly lightning struck the household and all the electronics of the household exploded because of that lightning. It's because they have disobeyed me and disobeyed the command of God. And just like it's written in 2 Corinthians, you need to see the glory of God that shines from the face of Jesus Christ. When you are in the state of new self, you'll always be beholding the glory of God and the light of God. But when you're in the state of the old self, you'll always be beholding the light that comes from the world. And instead, you'll be filled with darkness. And this fight is easier to fight the demons within you when you stop yourself from being influenced by external factors. That's why you cannot allow yourself to receive for the flesh to receive strength from any external forces any longer through your simple desires. If you open the door, then something is always going to come into you, and you'll be busy fending off those things rather than focusing on the dirt within you. So, the state that Apostle Paul refers to in Romans chapter 7 is he has already shut all the doors to the external things, and he's focusing on the simple desires within himself, and he had to fight intensely in that internal battle. That's when he said, "I am." Woe to me, for I am a wretched being. And when you have reached that state, that means you have gone over the line in your spiritual journey. And the fundamental evils of this world right now can be referred to as the three S's. It is screen, sex, and sports. These are the things that Satan uses. It is the bait that Satan uses to catch us. So, Satan uses the secular, the world, to affect yourself. So Satan will use secular, the world, as bait. And what is secular? Secular is the screen, sex, and sports. And he will use it to bait us, the self. So, in this paradigm, can you kill Satan? No. Can you kill the world? No. So, you can only kill the self in that paradigm, right? How can you kill the self? It's all done by Jesus already. We are already nailed to the cross with Jesus Christ, according to the book of Galatians. We have already died with Jesus. That's why we have to continue to die and kill the old self. We have to continue to progress into the light of God. And at some point, we will remove all the nutrients, the essence of evil within us. And it will be very easy for us to fight that battle. It's not even a battle any longer by that point. Let us continue. Verse 17. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. Who does the will of God? It is the new self. You need to remember that the old self and the new self are real. They are a part of reality. Just as anything that is spiritual, these spiritual beings are all real. It's just that we cannot see them with our physical eyes yet. I know that this is real, because I have lived in the flesh and I know what it feels like. I know that it exists in reality. Likewise, if you live in the spiritual world all the time, then you know that spiritual things are real as well. Your spirit is real, right? Your spirit is not made up. It is not theoretical. Just as your mind is real, your psyche is real. Just like the story of the rich man and Nazareth. Nazareth, they are all... They were able to have that story because both of their spirits are real and they exist after their physical bodies have faded away. So like I said on the first day, why did the Lord allow the old self to remain with you after salvation? It's because he wants you to participate in the inspiration of that victory. He wants you to continue to fight against the old self so that you can participate in his victory together. And the more you fight, the more you will strengthen the new self within you. And everything that the new self does is out of the wisdom of God. The Lord allowed the old self to remain within you because you have to fight against it and overcome it. Why did the Lord allow Lee Jae-myung to become the president of Korea? It's because he wants to awaken the churches of South Korea and let them fight and see the reality of what happens to their country if they do not stand up to right to fight for their countries. So please cut these parts out. I don't want to be arrested prematurely. Let us continue. And because only the new self will last for eternity, we need to live by the new self, right? You need to allow it to flower into a beautiful being before your life on this earth is over. That is the goal that God has let the old self remain within you. I might not be able to even finish chapter 2 in this conference, but we gotta at least finish up to verse 26, right? Now let's look at what is disturbing our fellowship with the Lord. Well, actually, let's just pray. You know, what's the point of listening to the sermon if we're not able to pray? And I know that the Holy Spirit has already spoken important things to you already. So we talked about the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh. And these things we need to uproot from ourselves. And like I said just now, you need to have a clear border within you to tell what is come from God and what is not from God. If you live by the kingdom of God, then the border will be clear. If that border is not clear, then you do not have the kingdom of God. It means you have not received the kingdom of God yet. In the state of being mixed, you are operating out of your own kingdom. You're operating out of your own skills, your techniques, your limitations, your habits, everything. And your own limitations are being flown into your, it's flowed into the church. So if you have received the kingdom of God, the distinction is clear. The border is clear between Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim. The distinction between the old self and the new self must be clear as well. But if not, then you're operating out of your own kingdom, the kingdom of the pastor, the kingdom of the elder. And Presbyterian churches in Korea are called elder churches. And that's why that denomination is so dangerous, because it is the kingdom of the elders, not the kingdom of God. But anyways, let us pray. Let us repent of the things that we must repent. And you cannot say, oh, I did not know that. As soon as you were saved, God has already given you everything that is required for you to live by His kingdom. But why wasn't it being revealed? It's because you have followed after your flesh even after being saved. So you were not able to reveal the amazing things of the kingdom of God in your ministries. Even though in the book of Ephesians, it has already said that the blessings of the churches, of God's churches, have already been given to you. You did not reveal it because you were ignorant to this fact. So let us repent and remove these things from within us. Lord, even though it is a short time, would you let us realize that it is sinful for us to live by the five sinful desires of Habakkuk. Let us be freed from the lust of our eyes and the lust of the world. Would you let us flourish in the state of the new self. Let it make it clear within us what is right and what is wrong, what is righteous and what is wicked. Let us be able to be sensitive to the movement of the kingdom of God instead of the movement of the world. Would you revive the state of the new self within us, Lord? Let us pray. Father, I bless these servants. Would you bless your servants? Would you proclaim and declare your kingdom through their mouths? Expand your kingdom through them. And multiply your kingdom through them as well, Lord. Father, would you empower the new self within us? And create a clear border between Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal. Father, would you anoint us? Anoint us, a new anointing. Father, would you pour a powerful anointing that allows your servants to live in this day and age? Bring the abundance of your kingdom upon them. And liberate them from the lust of their eyes. Do not let them live by the dynamis, the power of their flesh any longer. Have desire, have yearning. I have called you as my servant. I will give all the things necessary for you. Receive my support. Father, pour out upon them. Touch them. Pour out your presence upon them. To remove all the essence of the spirit of religion from within us. Remove the spirit of religion from us so that we can operate within your presence and abide in you. Father, open up the doors of fellowship upon us. It's not difficult. It is not complex. You will put into practice what it means to live spiritually. Live by the new self. Acknowledge the spiritual things. Acknowledge my Holy Spirit. Look at the Holy Spirit within you. Desire for my spirit. Be sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Be renewed. Remove all the hardness within your spirits. Father, would you let the Holy Spirit become more active within us? Nullify the power of the old self. Remove the essence of the old self, Lord. Father, would you bring us to a deeper state of prayer? but it poured upon us. Everything. Would you receive glory through your servants and expand your kingdom through us as well? Would you show us your abundance? Liberate us and open up our channels so that we may receive all from you. To multiply everything that we receive from you and allow us to influence and change this nation in your name. And allow your remnants to hold a festival of celebration for your victory. We will end it here.